Welcome to Making Sense of the Madness. I'm your host, Sean Morgan. We're going to have a great show tonight. We're going to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott about what's going on in the financial world and how we can protect ourselves in these times of inflation. We're also going to talk to Graham Ledger, who's new to the AMP family. He's a legendary host from OAN and a host from San Diego as well. And he's a two-time Emmy Award winner. Really looking forward to talking to Graham about what's going on in the world, in Trump world, in MAGA world, and how we can save our republic together. We're also going to be talking to Kangmin Lee, who is a conservative Korean-American who has a very popular YouTube show. We're going to be talking about the pro-life movement together. All that and more as soon as we get back from a word from our sponsor. In early 2021, a short squeeze in silver was initiated. What does this mean? It means that individual investors can take advantage of a global supply shortage in silver, while the big banks will have to end their contracts with physical delivery of an asset that's becoming scarce to non-existent. Low supply plus high demand will cause prices to increase rapidly. The only way to take advantage of a short squeeze is to own physical silver. Call Sovereign Advisors today. They have over 27 years of experience identifying these trends, so you can maximize your return while at the same time minimize your risk. Call them today before prices go up any further. 720-605-3900.
Hello, friends and fellow patriots. This is John Michael Chambers, the creator and founder of American Media Periscope. Emmy Award winner Graham Ledger has joined the team here at AMP. Graham will serve as Vice President of Operations and News Anchor, helping to propel Periscope into 2022 and beyond. Stay tuned for further announcements. Believe me, the best is yet to come.
All right, we're back, and we are going to be talking to Graham Ledger pretty soon. But first, we're going to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott. He is a PhD economist and founder of Kirk Elliott Private Advisors. He's always researching the latest trends in geopolitics and finance. Let's welcome Kirk to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Sean.
Yes, Kirk, you know, it's funny. We've been talking every week for a year now, and it seems like it's always the same story because we're in an inflationary environment and just the prices just keep on going up. What's the latest as far as price action in the market, in precious metals? What's going on?
Well, I mean, we saw last week that the numbers came out for December and inflation got up to 7%, right? That's the highest since 1983. I mean, completely unsustainable, but we have to ask ourselves why, right? As an economist, I always ask why. So it's because of the unrelenting printing of money. So to put it, I did some research this morning and I was just kind of seeing how fast is money supply growing, right? Because ultimately, that is what causes inflation. The rising prices are just a symptom of inflation. Inflation is truly an increase in the money supply. So get a load of this. From 1913 until 2008, so almost 100 years, the money supply grew by $800 billion. So $800 billion in 100 years. From 2008 until now, so 13 years, we've added $8.8 trillion to the money supply. So what took us 100 years to grow $800 billion, we've now gone 13 years, $8.8 trillion. It's growing exponentially. And so because of that, you start to see imbalances. You start to see disruptions in the economy. And so another thing that's accelerating is our national debt, right? So our national debt in 1776 was zero, okay? And from 1776 until 1929, it grew to $17 billion. So 150 years, it grew $17 billion. But now, 1929 to 2001, it went to $5.8 trillion. So it's like, oh my word, that was like a 70-year span. It grew to $5.8 trillion. And then 2001 to 2011, 10 years, it mushroomed up to $14.7 trillion. Now, 10 years later than that, it's at $29 trillion. So it's about doubling every 10 years now. When it took us from 1776 until now to get to $29 trillion, just 10 years ago, it was $14 trillion. Sean, we are doubling our national debt every 10 years. This is because they're imprinting money. They've got this unsustainable debt. They've got inflationary pressures because they're printing the money. And so this is the problem that we have. And it's starting to cause disruptions economically you know, on a more micro level. And Biden and his Brandonomics economic plan is truly the worst. It's they're living in la la land. So they expected during December, right? These numbers just came out this morning. They expected retail sales to increase by 0.3%. Only 0.3% during the retail Christmas season, right? Well, in reality, retail sales fell 1.9%. This wasn't a statistical rounding error, like, oh, it only went up 0.2 instead of 0.3. They were expecting 0.3 plus, and it was 1.9 negative. I mean, and then core retail selling, which is like gas, food, things of that nature, right? Things that are necessary, your staples of life. They were expecting that retail sales to go up 0.1, and it went down 2.3%. Again, not even close. They are living in la-la land. That their unrelenting printing of money coupled with higher taxes is going to grow the economy. And it's not. It's shrinking the economy. And it's going to get worse as this goes on, because these aberrations, these imbalances will actually just intensify as time goes on until they can't fix it anymore. Until they kick the can so far down the road that it fell off the cliff and they can't even pull it back with a string, right? It's going to get to a point where a reset just simply needs to happen, a complete financial reset. And I think we're actually, the table's set for that, Sean. I think, when does the party arrive? I don't know, but the table's set. They've actually killed the economy.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what kind of bailout would be next. But, you know, you talked about American history, how we've taken on a vast amount of debt and we've increased the money supply in the past. But, you know, we were fighting a world war at one point. We were building out the infrastructure of our country. So, you know, there were things, the money was going somewhere. It was going to something. And now I'm wondering, where is all this money going? How would you answer that?
Where's all this money going? So
yeah.
So here's the problem. So when you've got the Fed that is pulling trillions of dollars out of the banking system, they're pulling that liquidity out, and now they're going to stop asset purchases, right? What's their asset? I mean, they just announced this in the last federal communications from the Fed, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Their assets are U.S. Treasury, so they're going to stop the purchasing of that. So wait a second. So what are they going to do with the money that they're printing, right? Because they've entered into an inflate or die scenario. Seriously, the money that they're printing is not going to buy U.S. Treasuries. It's going to be direct payments. It's going to be direct payment stimulus plans to the people, which will act like a Band-Aid, but it doesn't go to help fix the economy. It will not fix the economy because it's just a Band-Aid, right? And so, but this is the way that they think. It's like, oh, we're going to print this money and try to pay for people's votes, right? But it's not going to happen. It's basically a sinking ship. And how do you tell, you know, when the boat is sinking, right? Like, Sean, even now or when you were a kid, did you ever go out on a little rowboat and you're out there paddling on the lake or in the ocean and man, the water is like getting up to the top of your toes, right? And then you look an hour later and it's like, oh man, word, the water's up to my ankles. It's like, either I'm splashing a bunch of water in this ship or this boat, or it's sinking, right? There's a hole in it. So we've got a hole that is getting so big because of years of not taking care of it, that it's now letting a lot of water in. And we're starting to see every one of these things, whether it's debt or debt to GDP ratio or the inflationary pressures, really start to blow that hole wide open. And this rowboat of our economy is going to sink. But how do you plug it, right? There's always got to be a plug. Well, that's where gold and silver come in, because they are things. They go up with inflation. They can protect and preserve your assets during these times when debt is out of control. Everything's spinning out of control. The inflationary pressures are out of control. But we've also got, economically now, financially on Wall Street, something kind of alarming. So this week, today is the first day of this week, 334 companies on the New York Stock Exchange hit a 52-week low. Okay, that's double the amount that made 52-week highs. There's only been three times in the history of America where that has happened. One of those times was in 2000. And tech stocks came down 80% after that. The S&P 500 came down 50%. So we're seeing these kind of things that don't happen very often.
That's not very healthy for a market, companies. Right? Where you have one really popular stock like Apple that's like carrying the weight for the rest of the stock markets. And most of the stocks are doing badly. I have a quick question for you, though, because you were talking about direct payments to people. And, you know, it seems like the one saving grace that we've had is that despite all the money printing, the velocity of money has been slow. And so if we start doing direct payments and everybody's got a bunch of money and they start spending a bunch of money and everyone wants a flat screen TV at the exact same time, what's that going to do for inflation?
Oh, well, it's going to shoot it through the ceiling, because what will happen is you get direct payments to people. Is it going to fix the problem? No, it gives them money for a month. That's all that it's going to do. They go out and buy everything on the store shelves. Retail numbers will look good for the month. But then what about after that? The only way to keep the game going is to offer more direct payments month after month after month after month. It's like, wait a second. Direct payments every single month, that's a job, right? It's like you've got to, people just have to go try to find work. But they can't because of government policies right now, shutting things down. You've got restrictions. You've got mask mandates. You've got all this stuff. Well, okay, it's convenient to just pay people to stay home because we want their votes, right? You know, so it's the Hegelian way of providing a solution to the problem that they created. But this is going to ultimately end up in complete or utter demise because it's other people's money. You always run out of other people's money. It's debt. Debt needs to be paid back. We've got problems.
And so the deep state wants to have some type of reset, like maybe special drawing rights or some kind of central bank cryptocurrency that would take over, because it seems like a currency collapse is inevitable with this type of unsustainable debt and spending and everything. But then historically, when a currency collapses, usually people return to something they actually trust, like gold, for example. So is that one of the reasons why you like gold? Because if there's some kind of currency crisis or any kind of crisis, that it's just a tried and true method of trust and storing your wealth?
It is. Without trust, you have nothing, right? So people have to trust the country that they live in. They have to trust their leaders. They have to trust their spouse. If they don't, the relationship will collapse, right? So trust is the basis of everything. So when people lose faith and confidence in the currency system, it needs to be fixed. But this isn't just a US-centric problem, right? People have lost confidence in the central banking system globally, Sean. So it's not just the Federal Reserve. It's the European Central Bank. It's the Bank of Japan. It's the Chinese central bank. All of them have squandered their time in the sun. They've amassed way too much debt, and now the debt is unsustainable and people are uprising. Look what's happening in Kazakhstan, right? It's the capital city is in shambles. It's riots and looting and protesters. Well, what's that all about? It's a battle of the haves versus the have-nots. Very rich oil oligarchy, right? And they're making money hand over fist with natural resources prices going up with inflation. But yet the masses aren't participating in that, and they're getting ticked. And so they're raiding the city. I think what happened in Kazakhstan over the last couple of weeks is a precursor of what's going to be happening in big cities all over the world as the haves and the have-nots really start fighting because of the imbalances that these inflationary pressures then rising commodity prices bring to the table.
Good point, Kirk. These economic problems always spill over and become social problems. And so, you know, when we're looking at political things, we have to always keep that in mind. So thank you for coming on, Kirk. We look forward to your update next Monday, and people can check out the link in the description below to get a consultation with you. We're going to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Graham Ledger. He is joining the AMP family. He's a two-time Emmy Award-winning journalist. We're going to welcome him to get back.
Hello, everyone. This is John Michael Chambers, the creator and founder of American Media Periscope. Now, did you know that annuities are a great way to protect a portion of your retirement portfolio from downside risk? And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they are probate free and can provide an income you can't outlive. Let a company you can trust help you select an annuity that's right for you. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's 844-USA-2024. Tell them John Michael Chambers sent you.
Well, Graham Ledger, since 2013, the rest of the nation has gotten to know what San Diegans have known since 1990, that Graham Ledger is their constitutional voice in media. Two-time Emmy Award-winning television newsman, host of The Ledger Report, the national constitutionally conservative program that dissects and analyzes political news of the day. Let's welcome Graham Ledger to the AMP family.
Wonderful to be here. Great to be part of a true patriotic family and an effort that is righteous and is backed by God and the United States Constitution. We have to win this war, Sean. We are at war. War was declared against constitutional America decades ago, frankly, maybe 100 years ago. It's been a slow progression, but now we're really seeing the fruits of the Marxist takeover of certain elements of our government and certain elements of our society. So this, as I call it, is the Pearl Harbor of our time. And we can rise to the occasion as our forefathers did, and we can beat back the aggression. It's an asymmetrical aggression that we're fighting, and it's an internal aggression that we're fighting, but we've got to fight it no less. We have to win this war. And so I'm happy to be a part of the team. And hopefully we can see in our lifetime, we can see this republic return to the constitutional tracks, because clearly we are off the constitutional tracks. And you know the most alarming thing, Sean, about the fact that we're off the constitutional tracks is that there is a large segment of our society that doesn't even realize we're off the constitutional tracks. For example, in California, they're perfectly happy with the way they are living. It's a completely 180 degrees opposite of the way people are living, say, for example, in Texas or in Florida. But they have been beaten down and literally brainwashed with propaganda for so long that they are perfectly happy with putting on a mask and running around town and being forced to prove that you've had some sort of substance injected into your body in order to sit down and have a meal. It's unbelievable. But those are the people that, you know, we really can't save. And in a sense, those are the people who are off the cliff. It's this mushy middle, Sean, that's our job. There are patriots, about a third of the country patriots, about a third of the country are off the chart, wacko, liberal / Marxist Democrats who can't be saved, frankly. But it's that mushy middle, that one third, that we have got to somehow wake up and have them join our forces so we can retake this republic.
Absolutely, Graham. You know, I believe that you left California for greener pastures in a freedom-loving state. And so has Elon Musk, took his whole company with him to Texas. So there are these super productive, freedom-loving people who just, you know, abandon places like that. But the people who are left, you know, it becomes a kind of, you know, echo chamber. And it's scary because California has the economy of an entire country. They have so much potential, but you've got companies like Google that are really clamping down and doubling down on the COVID tyranny. You said this is asymmetric warfare. I'm with you there. There's so many different fronts, but it seems like the COVID medical tyranny is a main front of this war. But it also feels like the tide is turning. Can you comment on some of the latest wins or latest battles related to that that you think are significant?
Well, I'm here with a message of hope, because I believe that we are winning and we can win this thing. And that maybe this mushy middle is starting to wake up to the fact that requiring you to get an experimental medical device injected into your body violates your constitutional rights. And the constitutional rights that you have are enshrined in the Constitution. They're supposedly protected in the Constitution. but they're also enumerated in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, how in the wide world of sports can you be pursuing happiness and have liberty if someone is forcing you to do something against your will? It's holy. And this ruling from the United States Supreme Court, it's mind-boggling to me that this was not 9-0. Now, I know there's Marxists on the Supreme Court, and there's clueless Marxists at that, like Sotomayor. And then we have John Roberts, who is, I don't know what he is, the greatest disappointment, and certainly from a judicial perspective in my lifetime, just a debacle, frankly. But why it wasn't a 9-0 ruling is just hard for me to comprehend. And then they turn around and say, oh, you can go ahead and mandate it for healthcare workers. It's so ridiculous from a constitutional perspective, from an independent, a Declaration of Independence perspective. It doesn't fit anywhere in there, not to mention your God-given rights. God-given rights, mankind doesn't give you your rights, doesn't give me my rights. The Constitution doesn't give me my rights. God gives me my rights. And they are protected ostensibly by our founding documents. So, yes, we have some small victories. We have that small victory in the United States Supreme Court. We have hospitals who are now forced to rehire people. They either fired or laid off because they stood up for their rights. But my message is it's multifold. But one of the messages to those who have gotten the jab, and you know people who have gotten the jab, I know people who have gotten the jab. They've done it for different reasons. Many of them are older. Many of them want to be able to see their grandkids or get on an airplane and do something, or maybe go on a cruise. And the cruises are mandating COVID so-called vaccines, which we know they're not vaccines. But the message is this: whether you've been jabbed or not, if you are a patriot and you believe in the United States Constitution, you have to support those of us who are not getting the jab. The jabbed have to support the people who have not gotten the jab, because, again, this is our Pearl Harbor moment. And whether you have gotten injected with that poison or not, we must stand together at this crucial hour and protect the constitutional rights, or at least attempt to, of all Americans in this country. And so it's very important that we understand that this is could be a turning point. And let's face it, Sean, you know, COVID is just the latest vehicle for the Marxists to attack our constitutional rights. It's been a wonderful vehicle for them, and they've shattered constitutional rights in all 50 states, unfortunately. And remember, you know, some of these red state governors fell for this nonsense too. And the president of the United States got suckered into it. And the greatest mistake I believe that Donald Trump made was not getting rid of Dr. Fauci and allowing him to be a malignant tumor on the American landscape. But this is our battle. This is our fight. It's not just about Dr. Fauci. It's bigger than that. It's about our constitutional rights and the fact that we have to push back together. We are winning, but we have to hold our grounds. And the unvaccinated and the vaccinated who are patriots, who care about the Constitution, who care about protecting our liberty, must join arm in arm on this Martin Luther King Day. Remember one of the things that Martin Luther King said: it is our duty to disobey unjust laws. Well, we have seen in the last 2 years a plethora of unjust laws and unjust, unconstitutional edicts, which were never meant to be meted out when the framers sat down and wrote out the United States Constitution. They would have never envisioned anything close to what we endured in 2020 and 21. But that's where we are, and we have to stay strong, because we can and we will win if we hold our grounds united. But we must stay united and don't fall for this disinformation, for example, that's going on in the media right now, that's trying to drive a wedge between Governor DeSantis of Florida and Donald Trump. Do not believe it. It's like that scene from The Exorcist I always like to point to, and that is when the old priest says to the young priest, hey, pay no attention to the devil. The devil will get inside your head and the devil will try and distract you and beat you down. That's what we're dealing with. We are dealing with the devil here, and it's enumerated in the modern Democrat Party. And not all Democrats, but unfortunately, most Democrats. You look at the polling, Sean. Did you see this polling from Rasmussen? It was stunning that most Democrats agree that government should have the right to force you to get an injection in your body of this experimental medical device. This is this polling.
There's something like 29% believed it was okay to take your kids away if you were unvaccinated.
Right.
So, in some ways, it makes you think.
That can't be. Those are the ones who can't.
It makes
be safe.
You think that you can't.
We're not going to be able to educate
with
those
them,
people,
right?
No.
That's the one third you're
right.
talking
you can't
about.
Negotiate.
We can't negotiate.
You can't negotiate with terrorists. You can't negotiate with these people. These are in the category of domestic terrorists. They are attacking our constitutional rights. So yes, by my definition, they're domestic terrorists. But we can win. We must stay united, though, and that's one of the reasons to kind of bring this full circle. Why I'm joining your team. I want to be a part of the effort to put this country back on the constitutional rails and beat back this assault that they've been using COVID as the excuse to assault our constitutional rights and our liberty.
I like your sentiment here. I like the message of holding your ground, but also reaching out and unifying. Don't let them convince us that the vaccinated and the unvaccinated are pitted against each other. But what does that look like to you? How do patriots, stay united or reach across the aisle? What does that look like?
Well, you can rally around what Donald Trump was saying this past weekend, and that is, we got to focus on the elections in 2022 and retake the House and possibly gain a majority in the United States Senate, and then focus on 2024. And I believe that Donald Trump is going to run again. In fact, on my website, GrahamLedger.com, I have some T-shirts that just simply say 45-24, because not only do I believe he's going to run in 2024, but I want to support him. And by the way, people ask me, well, who would you support to run for president in 2024? And I say to them, well, gee, let's think about this. How many candidates out there, constitutional candidates out there, have a proven track record of trying to secure the border and indeed securing the border, trying to put America first and indeed putting America first, trying to lower taxes and indeed lower the income taxes of all Americans, trying to reduce the size and scope of the swamp and actually doing so to the point where the swamp roared back and bit him on the ankle, if not worse than the ankle? And let's face it, Donald Trump was ran out of Washington, D.C. because of the swamp. And it was the swamp that crept into various states that stole the election. The answer to your question, what does it look like? Well, it looks like us banding together and focusing on the next election, but we have to be more strategic than that. And that means that we have to engage more than just supporting a good constitutional congressional candidate. Because let's face it, some of these candidates, when they get into Washington, D.C., they don't really act constitutional or conservative, do they? So we also have to act at the local level. And this is the formula that the Marxist Democrats used in California. And so my warning to the folks in Texas and my warning to the folks in Alabama and in Florida and other red states is, take control of your school boards. Take control of your boards of supervisors. Heck, take control of your HOAs and make sure that they fall in line with the United States Constitution. And if you fall in line with the United States Constitution, this issue of a mask mandate for children never would even be an issue. It never would have come up if these people were following the Constitution. There's no way in hell, if you abide by the founding document, that you would ever put a muzzle on the face of a young child in school if you follow the founding document. So we can activate at the national level, but we need to activate at the local level as well. It's crucial. It's what the Marxists did in California, and they did it over a 40-year plan, about four decades, and look where California is now. It is completely Marxist. 75%.
They are not afraid to seek out power and wield it and punish their enemies. It's time for patriotic, God-fearing Americans to wield power righteously. Thank you so much, Graham, for coming on the show. I'm really looking forward to your weekly show that's coming out soon. Anything else that you want to say about that or about where people can go to find your work?
I just want people to realize that we win because we do have God on our side. What these Marxist Democrats are doing is ungodly. It is against the Bible. It is against the Judeo-Christian foundation. Frankly, this country was founded on Christian foundation. Judeo-Christian came a little bit later. And if you follow the Bible and you follow either the Old Testament or the New Testament, and you say there is one God and you will serve one God and one God only, and you will do to your neighbor as you would do unto yourself, those fall right in line with the United States Constitution. So you follow the Bible, you follow the Constitution, we win, Sean. GrahamLedger.com.
Thank you, Graham, for joining the show, joining the AMP family. Looking forward to your weekly report. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to talk to Kangmin Lee, Korean-American conservative. Welcome to the show, Kangmin Lee, as soon as we get back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Support Mike Lindell, true patriotic American, and your family's sleep health. Use that AMP888 promo code and check out the link in the description below. Well, Kangmin Lee, also known as the Korean Christian Conservative, is a conservative commentator and content creator. With a YouTube channel and podcast of that same name, he explores contemporary problems in culture, news, politics, and theology through a biblical, politically conservative lens. Let's welcome Kangmin Lee to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's really great to be here. And I'm just going to correct you. It's Kangmin, not Kangmin. So a lot of people, it's spelled like Kangmin. So yeah, it's totally understandable. But yeah, it's Kangmin. Yeah, that's like the closest American pronunciation of my name.
Sorry about that. Well, welcome to the show. And tell me about what you've been doing as far as the pro-life movement.
Yeah. So, you know, I used to be an engineer at a global pharmaceutical company, but unfortunately I got fired. Very broad. It was very complex and it was really annoying, but basically it was for my social media posts and what I posted about the vaccine mandates, and also being pro Second Amendment as a conservative, or just as an American in this country. But anyways, that gave me a lot more bandwidth to focus more on my pro-life activism. And so I've been working a lot with organizations like Live Action and Students for Life, just to promote the pro-life message and to get the message out there to change hearts and minds, especially because I wish SCOTUS also chopped the Medicaid and Medicare vaccine mandate, but they did chop the mandate from Biden that would mandate the vaccine for businesses with over 100 employees. But, you know, next on the SCOTUS chopping block is Roe v. Wade. And this year could be the year where it's overturned after 50 long years of over 2,000 babies being murdered every single day. And so I'm super excited. I'm super pumped to see what God has in store for this country. And I'm just going to keep working to save the babies.
And what does that look like? What kind of efforts are you working on specifically?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, going in person and protesting, but also doing a lot of like pro-life apologetics and making content, videos, tweets, whatever it may be, on the internet to try to get the message out there to show how absurd the pro-abortion arguments are about showing the sanctity of life and upholding the sanctity of life, to show people that truly the baby in the womb is a human being worthy of protection and dignity. So just been doing a lot of that. And I think it's working. I've had a lot of people message me and tell me that they used to be very pro-choice, but after seeing some of my arguments, my content, and engaging with me, they've realized, oh, shoot, wait, that is a baby. And it's actually not only killing a baby, but abortion also harms women and hurts women. And the culture and the left at large lies to women saying that it's empowering, but it's the least empowering thing to kill your own baby.
Absolutely. What are some of the liberal arguments for being pro-abortion that you address in your content?
Well, there's so much. I mean, it's just like the very, like, it's just so outdated, the my body, my choice. It's like, first of all, the government does dictate what we can or cannot do. It's a matter of if it should dictate what we can or cannot do with our bodies. For example, it tells us that we can't use our bodies to stab someone and kill someone. It tells us every day that we're not allowed to run down Main Street naked without any clothes on, you know, because that's just indecent and no one wants that. With our bodies every day, we're not allowed to do certain things, and that's what legislation inherently is. And as conservatives, we value law and order. Unfortunately, the government is overreaching their boundaries and the scope and their purview of where they should be appropriately legislating. But especially with abortion, like this is an area where the government should be protecting life, because the government exists to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the first is life. So that's the first right protected, given to us by God, and should be protected by our government. I don't want our government to do a lot of things. I don't want it to mandate medical procedures. I don't want it to mandate vaccine mandates or mask mandates. But I think it should, and it definitely should protect life. And so it's so interesting. Like, they just don't think, like, my body, my choice. It's like, well, first of all, the government tells you what you can do with your body every day. And second, it's not your body. It's another body. It's a distinct human being with a distinct human DNA. If it was your body, if you're pregnant, you would have 10, you would have 20 fingers and 20 toes, but you don't. Because again, it's not a part of your body. It's not your body. It's a different body. And that's just one argument. Oh, there's so many different arguments, but essentially it just comes down to the baby is a life. And if it is a life, then it is a distinct human being. And especially because it is an innocent, distinct human being, it is worthy of protection. And we need to protect the defenseless and the most vulnerable in our society. There is an assault on our babies.
Right. It seems like the line of logic for this liberal pro-abortion opinion has to do something with this is not really a baby. This is a clump of cells. This is a, you know, they don't have a soul. They don't have consciousness. They don't feel pain or something like that. That's what they think. I'm not saying that's true. And then, you know, people bring it to their attention that these laws are getting more and more aggressive, where the abortions are happening in later and later stage, even at the time of birth or even after the time of birth. So it's hard to make those arguments that it's a clump of cells when it's a baby that's crying in a delivery room. Can you address that issue of, you mentioned 10 fingers, 10 toes extra in your body. You know, what else do you talk about to prove to people that this is a distinct human being?
Well, first of all, the term fetus, right, is just another, like, zygote, fetus. These things are just labels and names for stages of a development for a human being. It's the same as toddler, infant, child, adolescent, adult. I mean, these are just stages of human development. And so this is what we've known ever since we've known, we've had the science about what the human, what a baby's like in the womb. And so the fact that they're trying to rewrite what constitutes human life, it's just, that's just annoying, because it's like, okay, when does human life begin? And I really, I don't like to strawman, and I don't like to broadly mischaracterize the other side, but they can never, ever, ever pinpoint the time or the stage of development when human life begins. Every single time, it's arbitrary, and it's always very, very, it's not grounded in any sort of fact, logic, morality, any sort of the sort. Like, for example, a common talking point is, oh, when it's viable outside the womb. Okay, babies are viable outside the womb at different stages, and especially with advancing technology, babies can exist outside the womb at younger stages and earlier stages in their development. Typically, you know, when Roe v. Wade was ruled, which was a terrible ruling, it was like 24 weeks. Now it's like less than 20 weeks even. And so that's a debunked argument. And I ask, like, when I go to these protests and I engage with pro-abortion liberals and whatever they are, these activists, I always ask them, when does life begin? Because I think you and I can both agree that killing an innocent human is wrong. So we have to be able to discern and ascertain when life begins. And they can never give an answer. There's this one woman who gave me this absurd, insane answer. She said, when the mother has a connection with the baby, it's a life. So at 6 weeks, if the mother has a connection with the baby, it's a life. But at 26 weeks, if the mother doesn't have a connection with the baby, she can have an abortion and it's not a life. And I was like, so are you saying that a human being needs to be loved and wanted in order to have value as a human being? Like, that's just genocidal language. And she was like, and she couldn't answer it. And every single person I asked, when does life begin? They can never answer. And that's such an important fundamental question to ask, because again, I think all of us, if unless you're an insane psychopathic maniac, we all agree that taking innocent human life is wrong. Okay, so then what constitutes human life, and when does that human life begin? And that is such an important question that that these pro-abortion people can never answer. And all their answers are very, very, very alarming, because when you extrapolate that logic for whatever justification they have, it's very genocidal, and it, you know, you start to venture into the realm of eugenics.
Right. And actually, a lot of liberals claim to be, you know, bleeding heart, compassionate people. So hopefully having this much needed conversation will win over a lot of people, because they supposedly do treasure human life. What happens if Roe v. Wade is overturned? You know, how would that affect our society?
Well, I think it's very important for us to stay up to date with this issue and to understand the broader political and socioeconomic implications of this issue, because, you know, at the past day, the political tension rise like we've seen it before, at least in the past 150 years in this country. The last time we had this much political tension, we had a civil war. And even then, it wasn't even among like most people. It was a very small group of Americans. But right now, with the advent of internet and mass media and social media, so many people are now somehow involved in this culture, political, and I would even dare say spiritual war. And so we've seen so much with critical race theory and a lot of the racial tensions and a lot of the gender stuff, especially with feminism, with the rise of radical feminism, and then a lot of the queer theory, the progressive gender ideologies about pronouns and transgenderism and the LGBTQ. And then on top of that, with this COVID, this pandemic, really ratcheting up, like over half of Democrats, you know, Rasmussen just had a poll, over half of Democrats would want to imprison or confine people to their homes if they're not vaccinated. It's absolutely insane genocidal language. So it's really ratcheting up. And another huge issue is abortion. And this is a very passionate issue because pro-lifers are very passionate about it, because we believe it is a baby, so we need to save that baby. And then pro-abortionists are so hell-bent on killing babies. And so it's like, how do we reconcile that? We really can't reconcile that between the two radical, like against that radical faction. And so the best thing we can do is win over moderates and people who are just loosely pro-choice. But it's very important, because we're really like political tension is really rising in this country and really ratcheting up. And I do believe that the issue of abortion has the power and the potential to be the catalyst and a breaking point towards something really bad in this country. And as someone who loves America and as an American, I love this country. I think national divorce isn't a question we should ever entertain before we've exhausted all available options. But I think we have to be ready for a potential violent conflict. I mean, we saw throughout 2020, the half of 2020, our cities were burned to the ground by radical extremists, and our government egged it on. They encouraged it, and our law enforcement didn't do anything to stop it. Like, our sitting vice president literally raised money to bail out these violent criminals. And so I think we have to be ready for potential violent conflict. I don't want to get there at all. But this issue is a very important issue because, again, it's not just a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. And it really, really digs deep into the core beliefs of Americans. And so if Americans believe that we should protect babies, then they will be pro-life. And it's a very strong issue for them. And then for pro-abortionists, they do believe that you should have the right to kill your baby in the name of woman empowerment, and they'll be very galvanized to take to the streets and riot as well. And so we have to be very cognizant and aware of what's going on. It's not always sexy. You know, abortion is not always a hot button topic because it doesn't affect our everyday life like the vaccine mandates do, like the BLM and violent riots do. But I think it's very important for us to be informed on the issue, and not only informed on this issue, but also advocate for the lives of these babies. Because again, I do believe that this is the gravest injustice in American history, the gravest blot in American history, where over 2,000 babies are being brutally slaughtered, murdered, their limbs torn apart, and injected of literally the injection that they use to starve babies to death in the womb is the same injection they use on, you know, on death row for serial rapists and criminals and violent serial murderers. And so this is a grave injustice. And I think a lot of why our country is the way that it is because God does not condone and tolerate the shedding of innocent blood. And we've shed over 62 million. In this country, we've killed over 62 million innocent babies. Too much innocent blood has been shed. And right now we're living through the repercussions of the church and America as a whole being tolerant and turning a blind eye to this grave injustice.
So let's say Roe v. Wade was overturned. All the pro-abortion activists hit the streets. You know, you mentioned national divorce. Do you think this would actually play out in certain states trying to secede or something like that?
I do believe, I think it does have the potential, like Gavin Newsom recently, after the Supreme Court oral hearings, early last month, he declared, California will be a sanctuary state for abortion, so women can come here and get free abortions. I do believe that there is potential for states to want to secede. And the last time we had that, again, we had a civil war. And so I think to prevent that, like, Republicans really need to grow a spine, need to grow a backbone, and to enforce and wield political power effectively. So the left does this really well. And Democrats do this too well, where they are literal fascists, with the way that they enforce their law and their dictates. And like most of these vaccine mandates and these mask mandates and these COVID policies aren't legislation. They're just mandates from governors, from mayors, from the president. And they're not law, but law enforcement enforces it. And so in the same way, Republicans can't be scared to be like, oh, like, no, we're the party of small government. No, we're the party of limited government. But we need to be able to wield political power effectively, because we've seen Ron DeSantis do that in Florida very effectively. I know very libertarian-minded people don't like Ron DeSantis because he does that. But look at Florida. It's very free because Ron DeSantis has been effectively, with the state legislature, they've been able to effectively wield political power to protect the civil liberties and the lives of their constituents. And so Republicans can't be afraid to do that. They will call you homophobic. They will call you racist. They will call you misogynistic. They will call you fascists and Nazis. No matter what, like, they literally call me a Nazi. They call me a white supremacist. I'm a Korean. I'm not even white. And they call me a white supremacist. They call me a white nationalist. They will come after you no matter what. They will name call you. They will throw all these stupid infantile ad hominems. We can't be afraid of that. We can't be afraid of the smears and the slimy lies from the media. We just got to enforce what we believe to be right, true, and beautiful. And so when it comes down to it, Roe v. Wade, I do believe has the potential to be overturned. And when it is overturned, it's going to go back to the states. But I do believe we're in for a red wave in 2022. We'll take back the House and the Senate. And when we take back the White House in 2024, we need to, on a federal level, codified in law to make abortion illegal. And we need to do that for so many legislations, so many things, because we want to make America great again. And that's what Trump ran on. And I do believe that Republicans need a gross backbone and a spine and to legislate effectively and to wield political power. Because again, I love law enforcement, but I don't like law enforcement when they're enforcing these unconstitutional, stupid, unscientific edicts from these fascist, communist dictators in New York City and LA and all these places. But I want law enforcement to uphold their oath to the Constitution, and I want them to enforce good, righteous, just laws to protect the lives of American citizens. And so we are living in the fourth turning. This will be the generation to decide whether or not America has a country and we stay as a country or not. Because right now, China is amassing too much political power and economic power. And we just can't compete unless we get our act together. And so Republicans need to grow a backbone. The Democrats are just communists at this point. There's no hope for them. But Republicans need to grow a backbone. We need primary all the rhinos and all the weak Republicans, get populist American first people, like politicians, into office who aren't actually politicians, but just regular American people who love American citizens. And so I think that's the best path forward. And yeah, that's what I want to see.
Me too, brother. Let's talk about the spiritual side of things, about the Christian family values. The American family is under attack at so many different angles. Certainly, you've talked about the abortion side of things. But what are some other cultural attacks of the family that you think is important for Christians to stand their ground?
So people don't talk about this enough, but marriage. So the introduction of no-fault divorce in this country, and on top of, you know, this is very, among conservatives, I have no idea why this is controversial, but this is apparently controversial. In 2015, the ruling of Obergefell, where the Supreme Court ruled that all 50 states have to allow same-sex unions. And I'm not going to call it marriage, because marriage, that's not marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. If it's between two men or two women, that's not marriage. If it's between, you know, three men and one woman, that's not marriage. like marriage is between one man and one woman. And with the introduction of these rulings and legislation, making it lax and easier for couples to get divorced, on top of, you know, the expansive welfare state, which incentivizes single motherhood and father absence, these are all attacks on marriage, which is essentially the institution that was designed by God to protect children, and it is the incubator of values. And so if you don't have the family, where are children going to get their values from? They're going to get it from their schools. They're going to get it from media. They're going to get it from the state. This is why communists love tearing down the family. They hate the family and they hate Christianity. Why? Because again, the family that God has ordained in the Word of God is the best place for children to thrive and to people to be fulfilled and live a long, fulfilled, prosperous and meaningful life. And obviously it's going to be hard and there will be times where it's challenging, but it's through those challenges you work together and you grow stronger as a family. But especially marriage, the exorbitant divorce rates The normalization of same-sex unions, the rewriting of what, the rewriting of the definition of marriage, essentially, and basically making marriage not about serving each other and not about loving each other and not about committing to each other and not about, you know, protecting your children and putting your children first, especially after you have children. Marriage has become this flippant, oh, it's just whatever I want, kind of selfish, just like hobby in a sense, where they're like, oh, I'm just going to marry this person because I feel bubbly about them. Oh, things got hard. Let's just divorce. You're annoying me now. Oh, I'm going to remarry 5 times and have 10 different children with 6 different wives. Why do you think there's so many children broken and hurting? And why do you think they're going right and buying into leftism and the empty promises of progressivism to find meaning? It's because parents don't know what marriage is anymore. And so this is all right, a coordinated attack, not only by Satan, by the enemy, but also by nefarious actors in Hollywood and media, and especially in our corporations. Amazon loves when you're dependent on their products and services, because their stock goes up, their company evaluation goes up, they get richer, Jeff Bezos gets richer, everyone on the board gets richer, all the employees get richer, ah, it's a great time, while families are being torn apart. And I love free markets, but I'm not a staunch capitalist, because again, the natural progression of staunch capitalism, just pure unbridled capitalism, is monopolies with oligarchs at the top who hate your families and just want to, you know, get you addicted to the products and services. And so again, it's the degradation of the family, but I really do believe it's really in marriage where these people, these elites, the ruling class in this country, who's, they're godless, they're heathens, they're terrible people. They want the family to disintegrate. They want marriages to disrupt, because again, they want to be the solution. The state wants to be the solution. The politicians want to be the solution to the problem that they created.
We conservatives need to have this conversation. You're right. This has become taboo to talk about marriage, the very foundation and fabric of our, you know, Christian American society, and it's under attack. And these spiritual and social issues have so many political implications. And I love the fact that you focus on this. Where can people go to learn more about your work?
Yeah, so I haven't been on YouTube for a while. I've been traveling a lot, speaking, going to events, and I'm also going to the March for Life this week. So if you guys are also going, come say hi. And if you're not going, you should go. But because this might be the last March for Life before Wade is overturned. But yeah, you can find me on YouTube. Just look up my name. And then you can also find me on all social medias at The Kongman Lee. Heavily targeted by Instagram. You can't even tag me on Instagram because I've posted so much COVID misinformation. But yeah, that's where you can find me on all social medias, and I hope to see you guys there.
Thank you so much, Kongman Lee, for joining us today, and keep up the good fight. Thank you for watching American Media Periscope, America's Patriot-only super channel. On January 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern, there's a live Zoom Q&A with James Grunvig and Kevin Jenkins for premium subscribers only. On January 19th, just a few days from now, there's 30 minutes before MSOM, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, John Michael Chambers is going to host a Trump vaccine strategy panel show with Scott McKay, Michael Jaco, Alexander Bruce, Juan O'Savin, and all of us AMP show hosts. Tomorrow, we have Truth Movement leader Mel Kay on the show to discuss her time in Hollywood and the unfolding Great Awakening. Up next tonight, we have the Patriot Street Fighter at 7 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to sign up at SeanMorganReport.com for my breaking news updates. God bless all you patriots. Good night and good luck.
Hello, friends and fellow patriots. This is John Michael Chambers, the creator and founder of American Media Periscope. At Periscope, we deliver the news behind the news, the story behind the story, as we are, in fact, on the pulse of truth. Periscope has a mission unlike any other broadcasting company today, because it is centered around you. We are living through raging psyops, sting ops, and information war. Where other media companies lie and deceive without any shame or moral conscience, we at Periscope are fighting this information war. I am pleased to announce that Emmy Award winner Graham Ledger, formerly of One America News, has joined the team here at Periscope. Graham will serve behind the scenes as an integral role as VP of Operations, helping to propel AMP into 2022 and beyond. As a weekly news anchor, Graham will also be launching the Ledger Report here at our broadcasting network beginning February of this year. Stay tuned to further announcements and be sure to sign up for free subscription to American Media Periscope simply by visiting AmericanMediaPeriscope.net. Yes, the best is yet to come.